The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Now, every so often, we get to witness an artist whose very being feels like music. Someone who doesn't just play jazz, but breathes, bends, reshapes, and reimagines what's possible within it. And when that artist happens to be a four-time Grammy Award winner, an inventive bassist, a luminous vocalist, a fearless composer, and one of the most captivating live performers of our time. As a music lover, you know, you are compelled to make space, to lean in, and to certainly listen deeply. It is my absolute pleasure and honor to welcome to the K-Jazz Show a global icon and this year's Joy of Jazz headliner, Esperanza Spalding.
Yes, gratitude. Thank you for that warm introduction.
Welcome to the show. And of course, thank you for joining us. Esperanza, you know, you have this magical way of transporting audiences, you know, whether it's through the voice or the bass or, you know, the spiritual quality of your arrangements. Now, for the Joy of Jazz performance, let's talk about how you're approaching your return to the stage. What are you hoping audience takes away from this experience?
Well, I have, you know, little library of songs that I draw from. And in this era of my life, I'm drawing from all the albums I've put out so far. So generally, when I get to a place, I get to a venue, I get to the city, I'm feeling into what the set wants to be, you know, like every place feels different. Every town feels different. So I know I'll be playing selections from the past, I guess it's 9 now albums, something like this. But I don't, you know, I don't yet know which ones I'll draw from. So I think what I'm hoping for audience to walk away with is joy and a sense of being very present and connected with each other and the music and me for those, you know, 90 minutes or whatever, however long it is. And I hope that we share beauty, you know, and it's not that it's a thing I'm worried about achieving every night, but I know presence and authenticity is really important to me when I perform, because I think that's the state through which the most beauty comes through, you know? And so that's what I'm focused on. I trust myself and I trust the music so much. Yeah. So it's kind of like a surrender into what we've put together for that night. And the, you know, the audience is on a journey with us of discovering what that set that night actually feels like.
Speaking of journey, you know, over the years, you've reinvented yourself, you know, through different musical identities, from Emily's D Plus evolution to 12 Little Spells, you know. When you reflect on this evolution as an artist, what do you think has remained constant, you know, at the heart of your creative expression?
Yeah, it's funny. I guess it only looks like I quote unquote reinvented myself because maybe there's a pretty dominant narrative of like brands, brand identity, and like the brand of an artist being an identity. But as far as I know, all the people I know are always growing and changing and evolving. And the things we're in conversation about changes as we change and learn more and experience more. You know, the things I thought about as a 15-year-old and prioritized as a 15-year-old are different than when I was 20, and definitely different than now, 25 years later when I'm 40. So I don't experience my life that way as a journey of reinvention. I just didn't experience it as trying to tell the truth of what's with me and what I've been exposed to, interested in, prioritizing. I kind of feel like learn a lot and create a lot through the process of osmosis. So what I'm around, talking about, exposed to, is going to come out in my music.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, the through line is I am a human on earth, and this is a very diverse, complex, dynamic place. And so you're going to feel that in what I create, you know, like this tree out here looks so different than when it was a sapling. It's going to look different in 15 years too.
Yeah.
So I guess I feel that's just natural. That's just nature, you know. Mm. I think what's been really helpful for me was early on having these managers, this manager who was very much like, I'm going to make something out of this person. You know what I mean? They were very like driven to make the most out of the anomaly of me within the jazz industry at that time. Mm-mm. And so they really like hustled, you know, and I don't think it was altruism. I think they saw they could really capitalize on the kind of oddity of my appearance in the jazz world. And some of them had a very kind of predictable concept of how one does that. And so thank God I have an insubordinate fighting spirit. And so I did fight a lot to keep things that I thought were important, you know, on my albums. But I also felt like I had to compromise a lot in exchange for their support and fervor promoting me.
Yeah.
And I've been so grateful and amazed that with every iteration, like it works, and it works enough that I am still touring and doing interviews and stuff. So it's all really been an experiment. I think that's my point. It's always an experiment. It's all been an experiment. Even choosing to leave those managers was an experiment, you know, and I think that's just what I'm more interested in.
Speaking of, you know, experiments, maybe not even experiment, but it was, you know, something incredibly special. Your collaboration with the legendary Brazilian master Milton Nascimento. I mean, that was a meeting of musical soul and spiritual depth right there. How did that project come about? And of course, what was it like to step into Milton's world of creatives?
Yeah, I've known Milton, I mean, personally, since maybe 2010 or 11, kind of a blur. I know I did something with him. He asked me to come play with him when he performed at Rock in Rio. I think that was 2011. And I remember knowing him before then, meeting him. He sang on Chamber Music Society. He was a special guest on that album because someone had showed him my cover of his song, Ponta de Areia. So I think pretty much from around there, like 2009, 2010, something like that, we've, you know, been kind of in each other's orbit. And the more I went to Brazil, the more time I would spend and go over to the house, and he would put on a jam session, and, you know, we would hang out and play tunes with people in a particular music community there. And then so that's just been going on for years, you know, a sweet friendship, colleagueship, sort of. I mean, I admire him so much. It's like, I don't know that we're peers, but we're colleagues, you know. And then Milton was doing his kind of farewell tour, like he was going to retire from his professional music life. They asked me to, his son, his manager, asked me to be a guest. So I did. And I went to Boston and New York to be a guest. And somewhere in that trip, which was so sweet, his son was like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about what I want my dad to do next. And I think you should produce his next record. And it should be like you and, you know, Milton and Esperanza. And I was like, yes. You know, I feel like I've been getting my producing chops together over the last couple decades. So
yeah.
I felt like I'm ready to do this, you know.
tanta gente no meu rumo, mas eu sempre vou só. Nessa terra desse jeito, já não sei viver. Deixo tudo, deixo nada, só do tempo. Eu não posso me livrar. E ele corre para ter meu dia de morrer.
Kofifi FM, we are in the company of Esperanza Spalding this Sunday. And in case you've just joined us, you know, she is one of the headliners at the Joy of Jazz Festival 2025. And before the music break, her and I were reflecting on her recent collaboration project with Maestro Milton Nascimento, including listening to Arturo of that project. Now, you know, Esperanza, you've described music in the past as healing work. And working with Milton, who is such an emotional and I suppose political depth in his music, what did that collaboration teach you about listening, about patience, about creation?
It's so funny. It's like, you know, those qualities you're describing, patience, depth, listening, that's what's required all the time to be alive.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's required for relationship. Your real relationality with bodies of water, with humans, with children, with elders, with food, with your garden, I mean, with your instrument. Like, I don't, any other way of relating, I think, is like a trauma response to severing programming of colonization. The only kind of relationship that doesn't require that way of engaging would be a relationship of like dominance or disassociation, which I know many of us have struggled with because of trauma. And it can be acute family trauma, it can be systemic trauma. So I sort of feel like weirdly, these qualities of relating that you're describing become like special and anomalies because the other ways of relating have gotten so normalized. I don't feel they're normal. I don't feel non-presence and semi-listening and, you know, nonchalant engaging. I don't feel that is how we're hardwired as social creatures. So maybe the simplest way to respond to your question, which is such a beautiful question, is like in these spaces where all that's happening is us creating and relating, we dip into that kind of like factory setting of our humanity. And it feels so natural. That's what I want to say. It doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, this is, it's like, oh, I can take time to figure out how this elder that I care about is most comfortable singing. Like, that should be normal.
Natural.
You know? Natural. And so I guess to wrap this long-winded response up, the whole process felt like sinking back into a very healthy, natural way of relating to an elder that I admire and want to show up fully for in the role of producer. I want to engage deeply with, fully with, in the role of like colleague, fellow musician. And I want to deeply learn from in the role of student because I admire him so much. Now, those three valences of relating, I'm saying them, like, yeah, just like with everyone else on earth, it's like certain humans, it's like we give ourselves permission to make time to relate that way. And so that's what it felt like. And all that being said, he is a very special, unique energy. You know, he's such a wise, deeply caring person. He cares so deeply about the beauty of the music, the perfection of the language, of the poetry. He's like an architect, you know.
An elder whom we, you know, we often say here, we want to sit around the campfire and listen to him tell stories of our past.
Yes, exactly. It's that.
What about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain? Have you ever stopped to notice all the blood we shed before? Have you ever stopped to notice this crying earth, these weeping shores? What about flowering fields? Is there a time? What about all the dreams that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the children dead from war? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping to glance among the stars. Now I don't know where we are, although I know we've drifted far, so far. Thank you.
You know, Kofifi FM, we're still in conversation with the Grammy Award-winning Esperanza Spalding this Sunday. And of course, you get to certainly see her live at this year's Joy of Jazz Festival, which takes place from the 26th to the 28th of September 2025, right here in the city. And to book your seat, do visit joyofjazz.co.za, which then guarantees you an experience of Johannesburg's favorite jazz festival hosted at the Sandton Convention Center. Now, as we wrap up, Esperanza, you know, for the South African audience who's consistently followed you, you know, journey for years and discovering you for the very first time live, you know, what would you like them to know about, you know, who you are now in this moment on this stage?
Well, if they look on YouTube and only find a couple videos, it's probably not going to be like those videos. Whatever videos you happen to find, it's probably very much not going to be like whatever they are, just because, like I said earlier, I tend to make a set in response to what I'm feeling when I get to a place. So I think you can expect really heartfelt, beautiful music with some awesome instrumental collaborators. Yeah, I am in the jazz lineage. Those are my teachers. And I think that's like the grammar or the foundation that I have grown my music from. And I also am very much in the singer-songwriter tradition, the songwriter lineage. And I do use the vehicle of song and lyric to deliver my ideas, which are mostly about kind of like turning up the edge of what we take for granted or what we're used to seeing one way, and kind of like lifting up the edge of that carpet and describing like all the complexity that's behind or underneath and getting curious about that poetry.
Right.
And like that world. So I guess that's kind of maybe a common kind of way that my songs happen or that my songs portray reality or my experience.
And I suppose you and I will leave it here, you know, for this edition of the show. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday and for your presence, you know, for your insight and, you know, the extraordinary gifts that you continue to share with the world. South Africa is deeply ready to receive you, and we'll see you at the Joy of Jazz Festival. And until then, may the music continue to guide and surprise us all, of course, here on the K-Jazz Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate this time.
Oh, you are welcome. She is the four-time Grammy Award winner, an inventive bassist, a luminous vocalist, a fearless composer, and one of the most captivating live performers of our time. She is Esperanza Spalding, and she was on the K-Jazz Show.